know about how to get beyond your mundane everyday thoughts. Do you understand how our thoughts create our reality in a real and practical way? Do you desire tools to help you live from another space, full of freedom and liberation from self-imposed limitation? You can create whatever it is you desire. Welcome to Create Your Best Life Ever with your host, Allison J.K. Get ready to receive clear information, tools, and healing presented by Allison and her guests to help you better know what else is possible.
Hi, hi, hi. Thanks for joining in. We're going to talk about self-mastery today and what's been up this week. So self-mastery, some stories as I've walked clients through the process and myself too of self-mastery and some of the things we encounter when working to undo more of our mind's presence in our life and come more from our higher self and get lighter and have life be easier and able to create the life that we desire, our best life ever. And some of that's going to be incorporating a lot of what I've found up in the world this week. So, what is self-mastery? It's not some big lofty ideal. In fact, you're probably a whole lot closer than you think you are to it. And it's just seemingly the ability to, when we have our minds protesting our old behaviors and habits coming up, to, in the face of them, choose new. So here's a way that we can get locked into a version of non-self-mastery. A man has a father who has his mother as his wife. So a man, my client, has a dad and a mom and an older sister. And his dad has strong writing abilities and the desire to be a journalist. And his dad, this is back in about the 30s probably, his dad chose, because he had a family, you know, to support, to not do the writing career, not pursue that, but instead work in insurance, and made a success of himself. My client has a life full of attempts at create, as an adult, attempts at creating his life the way that he desires, but fails each time he steps out and tries something new. So he works with, he's worked in the past with other coaches and business coaches and cheerleaders, not ever an energy healer. I'm the first one. And, you know, learn systems to implement for success, like what's out there with the big banquet rooms and hotels getting rented. Like, here's the strategy. Here's a formula. Here's the way to do it. This is what other people do. They have a funnel, and this is the way the business flows, and those kinds of ventures he's taken coaching from before. And so comes to me with this statement that he has blocks and needs them removed, that I'm the one who's going to fill in the blank, having the missing piece that he hasn't addressed before. And my question back to him was, what if you didn't have a block? And he looked at me and could not wrap his brain around that in the beginning of our working together. So today, I realize in the session, so we start talking about what success and what failure means for him as I'm treating him with energy healing, energy medicine. And it comes upon this idea that there is sadness with failure. And the way that he's talking and where he went, I heard the little boy in him absorbing his father's emotions and feelings and energy. And he didn't even consciously know this. Now, we've talked about this before, about how he would absorb. And, you know, you guys have all heard me talk, my regular listeners have heard me talk about that before. And it's in my book From Ages 6, pardon me, 0 to 6, 0 to 8-ish. We're just getting all that neurological wiring happening, yeah? And so as it forms, where all the dialogue that's really meaningful is happening energetically and silently, and we're absorbing it as this is the way the world works, and not much of a distinction in the very beginning from 0 to 2 between ourselves and our parents, and after 2, not having much of a ability still to block ourselves from absorbing our parents' way of looking at the world, but now with more of a sense of individuality as we start to separate. And so we don't consciously see what we absorb from our parents because it goes in at an unconscious level because we're not conscious yet. We're absorbing and we're not fully awake yet in our development as a child. So when he was talking today, when I was asking him what does failure mean to him, and he said sadness, I could hear his father. It was almost like he was channeling his dad. And he was saying, and sadness is bad, it's wrong, because we're meant to be joyous, we're meant to be happy. And I have that same interesting point of view in regards to we're meant to be joyous, not to suffer. But I didn't have that locked down conclusion that sadness is bad and wrong. And so it seemed to me quite clearly that his absorption was his dad sucking it up and stiff upper lip and pursuing what he had success at in the insurance world in order to provide for his family, biting back his main dream. So my client was an underachiever his whole life, and it was like he was proving. So what came out today, let me say it this way, what came out today was if he had moved forward successfully in the bringing forward the dreams that he has that also provide his income, then he would be going against his dad. And so not being conscious of this, he just kept choosing to create failure. Now, obviously, none of us consciously are aware that we're choosing to create failure. It comes in much more subtle ways, like we might procrastinate, we might not make phone calls that are needed to be made in order to create and generate more activity that sets us up to receive the support and the team and the staff to give us that boost to get us out to that level of success. And it shows up in all sorts of ways. Talking oneself down out of taking a new opportunity presented as one's building in one's dream life, for example. So the self-mastery comes in where he knows that he's going to go forward no matter what. And I'm going to talk about another example from another client this week in just a moment. But what I also want to bring in is something that I have not talked about on the radio show before. And it's an area that brings up a lot of gunk for people. People have a lot of stuff around the idea of unembodied spirits floating around us. Whether they're ghosts, or they're labeled as entities, or they're labeled as ETs, or they're labeled as attachments, however it is that we construe, or they're labeled as archangels, or ascended masters, or spirit guides. Good or bad, you can see I just gave you the whole range, but unembodied, not in a physical body, spirits around us. And so what he said was, as we had gone through him having the awareness and me helping him have it of the sadness that he had absorbed from his dad, and we cleared that, he's like, I still feel like there's this tube in me. It's a black tube. And I asked him to talk more about it, and he said, it's like running down my chakra column, and it's kind of, it's not as strong as it was, because he had mentioned it when we started the session. He had said, I feel like there's something in me that you're so close to just pulling out of me. And we were in the beginning stages of doing the clearings and getting to the sadness energy and what he had absorbed and how he had chosen not to go for success because he didn't want to touch that sadness. And it was somewhat of a block for him. So now he's saying it's a tube, a black tube that's up his chakra column, and that it was not that big. So then I asked him to answer automatically off the top of his head what it was. Was it from a past? Was it from only this lifetime? No. Was it from another lifetime? Yes. Were you? And I was just following my intuition, working with him. Were you in battle? Yes. Were you a warrior about the same height that you are now? Yes. Was this from an enemy? Yes. Was it a wizard? No, he said it's from a wizard. This came from him. It's from a wizard. I said, so the warring enemy employed the wizard? Yes. So it seemed, and I said, is this in the UK somewhere? Because that was the energy I was following. He said, yes. So in some lifetime, he had this wizard be employed by a warring enemy to put an implant in him of some sort that would slow him down and cause him not to have success. Now, taking the major eternal view, you, and look at that, he then this is one possible belief you could have, a way to look at it. When we set up to come into body and we're meeting with masters on the other plane, looking at what our soul still needs to learn, because if you look at the wheels of karma or the wheel in our dharma, some Buddhist lingo now, and if you look at our souls coming back to when they still need to learn more, and we don't reincarnate once our soul has learned everything and evolved, then we sit with guides before we come into our next embodiment on planet Earth and say, what does our soul still need to grow? And so, okay, I guess in this lifetime, I need to deal with failure and success and allowing myself to move forward and have success. And so he ends up with a father who models and sets him up for what he sets him up for in this lifetime that would lead him in these days and times and energies that we're living in of today, where it's all about expansion and spiritual awakening, to then be led ultimately to me and my work to get it cleared. So I've said this before on the radio show a bunch of times too, that there's in the last 2 years an awareness I've had leading up to December 21st alignment last year of, even though I had known of past lives for many, many years before that, I had not done as much active clearing that was in almost every session, clearing out the karma from past lives, clearing out the past lives, implants and situations that would lead to trauma or that were traumatic, that would lead to a lockdown of energy, like this lockdown of energy around sadness, around success that this client had. So as he moves forward now with this implant gone, because it totally dissolved, it was almost, as the subtle energies go and working in the invisible planes. And let me back up for a second. Hey, my book is on What If There's Nothing Wrong, which has the banner at the top of this page or a link down on the right to get it on Amazon or on my publisher's site or on barnesandnoble.com. You can get the book. And in the book, I talk about, it's written in my 10th year of living in Asia. I talk about how we're suffering at a level that's unnecessary in the West, particularly in America at this point, because we're not acknowledging the subtle energies or the invisible plane and what happens on it as much as we could be, that would benefit us more. And so that include, I go very much into our healthcare system, but I also go into how we would be happier and more calm and more have more peace in our lives and therefore less stressed out and therefore less doctor's visits and less diagnoses and less pill taking and less illness overall. So that's what I mean by bringing the healthcare system. And I also look at the dysfunction and what's missing in our healthcare system in the book too. And you can, if you're interested, you can go to the book for that. What I'm bringing this up for is just that this is my whole message and platform after living in Asia for 10 years and coming back here and seeing how much the invisible energies are totally acknowledged there. I mean, there's a ghost month there in the Chinese culture in August, what corresponds to our August because they go by a different calendar. And I mean, even still, grandparents warn their kids, and some parents do, depending on how traditional they are, not to go in the ocean and swim, for example, during ghost month, because the ghost might drown you. I mean, there's active, like at least I would say once a month, times that are meant to go pray to your ancestors. It's built in. I mean, I went and met with a Taoist priestess. It was around my last or second to last year there, from a Chinese friend who took me to her. And she was telling me I would go and write my dissertation and take at a certain tea house. And prior to that, I would grade my students' writings and essays and stories, depending on what I was teaching, in this tea house at night. And it went by this cemetery from my home to the tea house downtown. And the Taoist priestess told me not to go on that road from 2 a.m. until 5 a.m., that this is when there's increased ghost activity or increased entity activity. And I had lived there long enough that I didn't blink an eye with that. I raised an eyebrow because I thought that was interesting, that there was actually a time known for increased activity with entities and spirits of that sort. And so there's an example of, or a couple of examples of more superstitious areas of acknowledging the invisible. But then if you look at the whole practice of acupuncture in the meridians, you can't necessarily see the meridians, even though they're mapped out, because there's been a lot of work to understand where they are in order to understand where to place the needles and observing the human body. You can't, with a naked eye, see them. So they're not tangible. They're not of the tangible, physical, 3D dimensional world that we operate so focused on here in America and in the West because of our scientific background. And again, I go in my book, What If There's Nothing Wrong, tracing why are we so invested in the physical back to the development of our sciences in the age of reason, in the age of enlightenment. It's interesting. It was really fascinating to me to find out how we ended up the way we ended up. So in our looking at, okay, so another example of subtle energy is Qigong, like learning to work with the subtle energies. We do that with Qigong. I'm a Qigong practitioner and teacher and have been doing it for, I don't know how many years at this point, like 13 or 14. And so there's a way to attune your system to the more subtle energies as you grow into practicing with them and working with them. You can do it through meditation too. My students and my regular students in my yoga meditation class have become more attuned to the subtle energies as well, because they can feel when they're more clear and around their mind than when they're actually just in their thoughts and being taken away by their thoughts. That's also a distinction of subtle energies. So as usual, all of this will come together, right? I always talk in this way and teach in this way that seems possibly circular, but it always ends up tied together. So when we're learning to not come from our mind and our thoughts and lock things into becoming solid and real, lock energy up into becoming something solid or solidified or even physical or manifested, we're working in the invisible realms. We're working with consciousness. And again, my whole platform is about learning how to work with consciousness more, because we could create our best lives ever. What else is possible if we were to? And cleaned of the superstitions, so we were just having accurate awarenesses. And so that would allow us then, therefore, to be able to approach the idea of, okay, so this client has an implant. He's aware of something black in a tube in his body, and I don't usually live in the world of shoulds, but as a healthy, functional, successful, on behalf of my client's practitioner, I should not have judgments against that being possible or that being crazy or whacked or weird. I should just neutrally accept that awareness he has, trusting that it's coming from his knowing in session as his mind is peeled back and his energy body is opened up and his intuitive knowing is activated more in a session, and then go with that and then help him release it. So at the end of that, it was really palpable, like almost tangible. The way that subtle energy becomes just almost recognizably tangible, it was that. There was a dissipation. There was a feeling of relief in him. So I'm not even going to entertain the imaginary thinking or placebo effect argument that's made in the West. I'm going to just go with the acknowledgement that this stuff exists, that there's implants that happen, that in using different forms of whatever, wizardry or magic or spell casting or fervent prayer or intentions that are made with whole loads of emotion behind them, that stuff gets implanted in people's bodies. I'm not bringing in ETs or anything like that. I'm just saying that I've seen some stuff that makes me no longer question this happens. So I had a woman who years ago she's in her late 60s, I think now, and she at age 11 was so tired of getting bullied at school that she made a claim like, how does it get any, she said, well, then I just won't eat anymore. And she's had a weird, wonky digestive tract ever since then. And she's been messed up with food and she has high blood sugar. Not that she needs to go on any kind of Western medical program because the numbers aren't that high, but she has to be careful with what she eats because of her sensitivity and how she'll react. Like she has a salt sensitivity. She has a potassium niacin imbalance. And so she's created that from making this really strong emotional prepubescent teenage girl pained, angst, claim in the midst of all these emotions from getting bullied that she just wanted to fit in and she wanted to stop having it be so difficult, then she found her way to have control over the situation as, I just won't eat then. And so what it also showed up as is that when she would eat, it would be the sugary, carbohydrate-ridden, addictive foods to calm her and comfort her. And I have shows in the back if you want to look in the archives about food addictions and each chakra if you want to look at those. Without going into that now, what I'm bringing this up for is what we create from strong emotional reactions. We can lock an energy pattern in place, and that is the mind-body connection. And so my other client, the first story, I was talking about him, aside from that black tube implant, he had absorbed his father's pattern and conclusion of sadness is wrong, I can't be sad, I've got to make the best of it, even though his father was emanating and leaking a sad energy in his downturned sorrow and not going for his full potential as a writer. And his son absorbed that, and his son has not gone for his full attention, his full potential either. It's really interesting stuff when we are looking at the choices we make and they're not helping us create our best lives ever. So if we're saying we hate something and it's still in our lives, one of the things that Dr. Dane Hare of Access Consciousness suggests is ask the question, well, what is it about this that I love? Because if it's still in your life, there's got to be some kind of unconscious, subconscious payoff. Otherwise, you just simply wouldn't choose it anymore. It is that simple. The part that we might think, if we haven't done this kind of work much before, that's not simple, is finding out what those beliefs are. But you have your own knowing. You could journal entry that. You could go for a run. You could go for a walk in nature. Put yourself by the ocean. You could ask that question before you go to sleep. You could ask that question before you do a meditation. So I'm setting you up for expanded consciousness and asking that question so that when your consciousness is expanded, as if in meditation, once you've been meditating for about 10 or 12 minutes, the consciousness starts to expand, depending on your experience level, then you open up to your own inner knowing. And you know, like, what is it that I love about this that I'm not getting? And allow your unconsciousness and your subconsciousness to have brought forth to your conscious knowing. Because that's when we're in an expanded consciousness, we have access to our subconscious and we have access to our unconscious more. Or seek out the help of somebody like myself, because that's what we're here for. Because sometimes we just have blind spots. But you can ask yourself first, what is it about this that I'm not getting? So I was talking with him, what is it that you love? So that's the question. What is it that you love about this that you're not getting? So what is it that he loves about failure that he's not getting? And it was totally, so he kind of went in his head. He was like a child being introduced to a calculus equation 5 years too early. It just made his head go and like collapse. Like his brain just couldn't. And actually that's a good thing, because when we hit those, I want to call them in this moment, dead spots, where it's just like a bottleneck of traffic or there's a traffic jam. It's not a bottleneck of traffic. It's more a traffic jam and nothing's moving. Then that is a sign that we have found of a block. And so if you then in the path of self-mastery become aware, okay, so this is an area of weakness, and most of my listeners, I'm sure, are aware of your areas of quote-unquote weakness or where you don't allow yourself to have something different. And if there's an area in your life where you're wanting to have it change, I'm telling you, my friends, oh, dear God, if you have ever wanted to change something, now is the time to do it in. The energies that we are dealing with on this planet today from the December 21st alignment are so supportive of changing and doing it quickly. So, for example, when we are stepping out and doing something new and following our heart. So in the example of my male client, he steps forward into a new venture for going for more success and implementing one of his dreams as his way to have economic activity. And one of them is an alternative fuel source. And he knows some people who have some great research behind a certain alternative fuel source, and they didn't have the right backing before, and he wants to bring it back and revive it and bring it forward. And so in going forward into this new venture, even though he had had the feelings of what I've already mentioned, he could step forward anyway. And as he's stepping forward and he's saying yes to it, even with the fear of failure or the underachieving in his background, he could be, for self-mastery, stepping into it anyway, doing it anyway. So I know that courageous people like myself aren't stepping into a new venture without doubts or without fears. I don't usually have doubts and fears. I work with my mind enough that it just isn't really in my world at all. I'll have awarenesses of what to pay attention to and deal with, but they don't come up as like a gripping fear or doubt. It's more of a neutral approach from all the work I've done and all the years of meditating. But if you have the fear come up, like it's a new area and you've not allowed yourself to go there yet, do it anyway. And as you do it, know and trust that in the energies of today, what I have seen is that when we step forward into saying yes for more expansion, because that's honoring the soul, which is what lasts, which is what this world, our existence is based on. It's not based on the physical. It's based on the spirit or soul or energetic consciousness that is eternal. That's the bigger picture. So always coming back to that bigger picture and treating that bigger picture, like treating the thoughts, treating the mind, treating the soul, treating the spirit, then the body will follow. Then the physical will follow. Consciousness and all the invisible. In the East, they know this, and I say this in my book, that the invisible holds way more power. It's not even talked about. It's so understood. The invisible holds way more power than the physical. So knowing that even though what we see seems so real, where does that loved one go? As I've said before in other radio shows, when you look at their face after they've died and they look nothing like themselves anymore, what is it that's left? And what about all of you who have had, the feeling that your dead mom's there, or the feeling that your great-grandfather's standing behind you helping you, or the feeling that that butterfly was your mother saying hi to you, or the feeling that they visited you in your dreams? Why not trust that as actually what's happening? But because they're not occupying a physical body anymore, then they have to have other ways to get through to your consciousness. And because our cognitive everyday mind is so dropped in dream time, that's where they'll make the attempt if you don't do any other consciousness expansion work in your awake life. So in looking at the eternal, consciousness is the bigger backdrop to all of life. It's not the physical, because consciousness is seeping, and quantum physics has shown this. And again, that's in my book too, but the consciousness is seeping in and out of everything physical. So an actual physical thing has more consciousness, more empty space in it than it does physicalness in it. So in looking at the realities of what science has found out nowadays, I am another voice saying, let's shift now to have the science be incorporated and actually catch our society up with the science that's actually out there. And so in working with the invisible, knowing that that's the bigger backdrop, trusting when you step forward and go against what you've usually done habitually throughout your life, allowing yourself to expand, that expansion is your soul following natural alignment with the nature of all life. And I've said this many times too, if you look at a flower, or you look at a tree, or you look at anything in nature, vegetation, it spreads out, it grows up. yeah, now you can think of humans. The nature of all life is to expand and reach for more and reach out for more. And we are no different. We are no different. We are life embodied in a physical human body. So we are honoring our lives and we are honoring the natural flow of all life when we step forward and expand. And when we contract and stay the same and make the same choices, it's just the mind coming in and wanting to stay small and familiar, because that's the mind's job, is to regulate all this multidimensional consciousness information and chop it up and make it linear and concrete sequential, so we can be in a body on the 3D plane and not have an overwhelm of consciousness and energy coming at us from all of the speed and light from all of the dimensions that are actually all everywhere around us and in us. We need a way to be able to function in the slower 3D plane, and that's what our mind does. So when our mind holds us back and contracts back, it's just a reflexive mechanism built into the mind, because its job is to hold us into cognitive, linear, rational understanding. Its job is not to help us expand and get bigger and become new. We look to our intuition for that. We look to our intuitive body for that. We look to our knowing for that. We look to our heart energy, our spirit energy, our gut energy for that. We don't look to the mind for that, remembering that we are a spirit, a mind, and a body, and we are a triad. We like to overemphasize our minds, and we're living in a culture, in a society that is very much creating mechanisms that enhance the dominance and the focus and the emphasis on our minds having all the power. But in fact, when you start a practice of any kind that deals with your thoughts, you realize, oh my gosh, I can observe my thoughts. I can observe myself thinking. So in that simple act, it's almost the same as Descartes' I think, therefore I am. But, and I trace this in my book too, the scientists after him twisted that meaning to fit their needs at the time. It's not the typical connotation of, because I have thoughts, that's my power. My thinking is my power. It actually meant he was observing that because he's able to think, and he's observing himself thinking, which is the part left out, he is. He must exist. So if you were to sit down for 5 minutes after this radio show, and every time you became aware, oh, here's another thought, and you said thinking, and you pulled off of the thought and you got back to your breath, you could maybe have one time in that 5 minutes, or maybe five times, of, oh wow, here I am thinking again, following that train of thoughts about what I'm going to do tonight, or that conversation this morning, or that meeting, or these plans I have for the weekend, or what I want to eat, or the shopping I have to do, right? All the fluttering that the monkey mind does. Anytime you became aware of it and you pulled off of it and came back to the breath, you would be with the higher self. You would be with the higher consciousness and seeing, I must not be just my mind. I must not be just my thoughts, in the act of being able to manage yourself in that way. So for me, that functions as proof that there's something bigger than just our mind. It's logical. I mean, you can deduce that. So then, in stepping forward and doing something that our mind's been like, ah, no, ah, yuck, in the energies of today, going for self-mastery, I swear you guys, what I see, and gals, what I see, I'm sorry, that comes from my Bostonian upbringing, you guys. What I see is whenever I've stepped forward into more expansion for myself, I've always had support from the universe, because that's how I've lived my life, is always stepping into the next level of expansion. Sometimes more than others with resistance in the earlier days, for sure. And so when I would step forward, I'd get some kind of acknowledgement, some kind of support, like an event would happen. I'd meet a person. I'd get some information come across through a book that I would pick up naturally off the shelf and buy, or a library book or something on the internet that would just help inform me on how to continue to take that step and grow that new direction. So that's the universe coming in and supporting that expansion, because it's in alignment with the nature of all life and what my soul is intended to do here, which is to expand. But nowadays, it's not even linear. As I continue to step forward into more expansion, I see the help happening like at a holographic level. Like I take one step and like five things come in to support me instantaneously. It is an amazing time right now to be activated, awake, and going forward into more expansion and being more. It's just, if I were ever to make a suggestion or recommendation, that would be it. You know, go for more now. Now is the time. Because it is the time. I mean, that's what the galactic alignment was all about in December 21st, 2012. So another aspect of self-mastery that I want to address here that feels appropriate because I'm coming up and seeing it a lot this week, beyond the possibility that there's implants or things from other lifetimes that you could have a practitioner help you release, or you could just sit down and ask your body, is there anything in me that's contributing to holding me back? And don't create anything. Just listen. Ask the question and be quiet. And then trust what comes up. If you're brand new to this, I would actually recommend doing this in under the guidance of a trained practitioner. But I'm trying to open you up to things that have come up in my awareness many times recently, so that it must mean it's up for a lot of people. And I was in with a community this week that I do a lot of healing with, in an international community, and that came up in there too, that there was an implant put in the second chakra to block our ability to flow ecstasy in the body. So, and then if I use Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness as an example, he went to, I believe it was Rome, sometime in this past year, and he expected to do his, I don't even know what class he was teaching, but instead of teaching the material he was expecting to teach and following the energy of what was needed at that time in his audience, he ended up clearing for a lot of demon energy. And that surprised him, if I heard correctly and if I'm repeating this correctly. So what I'm saying is that there's stuff on the planet right now as we move into this new time that may have been with us for many centuries before that is getting cleared. I also, so the awareness of that dumping, that karmic cleansing, that lightening up and getting rid of anything that's dense, just allowing for anything possible and allowing yourself to release as if taking a dump these things for this new time, to allow yourself to raise your vibration and be more attuned to an activated, awake consciousness in a body. That's one of the things that I keep seeing. And so that helps on the path to self-mastery. Another one is being able to open up to more coming from the consciousness and less from the mind. And when you're dealing with your stumbling blocks or the areas that you feel resistance, stepping into them anyway and looking and noticing for all of the support coming at you. Another one now is time. The mind, with its concrete sequential, as I just said, chopping up and making things manageable on this plane that's slowed down in the three-dimensional plane. In fact, when we're working in the world of energy or consciousness that's not embodied, it's so much quicker. It's so much quicker. So let's say you're working for something, and this has happened. I've seen this and heard this from people who have seen the movie The Secret, and who are working with the law of attraction, and they're wondering, why hasn't this shown up yet? Why hasn't this manifested yet? And losing, and I've been there too, you know, and losing ground, or not losing ground, but momentum for continuing to work towards something on the invisible planes with intention setting or with focusing consciousness towards that and pulling it towards you, or whatever tools you use on the working with subtle energies and consciousness. The actual American or Western human mind-oriented person is asking, why hasn't this shown up yet? And so we want the physical proof. And from everything I've seen, including, I'm very much also using how long it took a brain tumor to break up. So the doctors had given this person, and many of you know that this is my mother I'm talking about, 3 months to live from an incredibly aggressive brain tumor, using energy healing and working with her beliefs that she would actually survive from this, that this wasn't going to kill her. We turned that around, if I remember correctly. I need to look at, go back and look at my notes. But within 6 months, I think it's actually closer to three, we had gotten it turned around. And there was no brain tumor anymore in her head. But she was also paralleling that with chemo and radiation too. So I don't know if that actually slowed it down. This is before the December 21st alignment of last year too. If I remember correctly, this is in 2004 and 5. So it takes a while. Nowadays, it's quicker than even 7 years ago or 8 years ago. It takes a while for the invisible realms, what we're doing there energetically, where it might be pregnant with our potential, with all of the efforts and consciousness work, movement and consciousness that we've done with our all the tools that I mentioned before, intention setting or pulling the energy towards you or visualizing it happening, any and all of the work that we can do in consciousness prior to something becoming physical, it's sped up nowadays and it's happening quicker. But where we will detract from our own self-mastery is expecting it to happen immediately. Like when we buy something, the outcome happens immediately. You know, we're promised something will happen, and then that's why we buy it, and then we have that thing that happens. We have that burst of flavor from the pop candy, for example. It doesn't obviously work like that, and it does take a bit of time because, realistically, if you look at the science of it, if you look at the light years idea, you know, that it's all moving much, much quicker in the non-physicalized, non-3D realms. The 3D realm therefore moves more slowly, so it takes more time for something to materialize here. I think when Einstein was discovering the relativity theory, there was the study done with the twins around that same time, where one twin went to travel in a spaceship, and another twin stayed here. So the one twin was dealing with time space travel. And the other one was still here, and the other one had aged 10 years here, and the one who had gone up into it is a phenomena that is different outside of our mental constructs of it is now 4:43 on the East Coast in America. And you can another simple and sometimes when we use common sense, what we label as common sense, it seems so simplified that it's not advanced or it's not complex or it's not complicated enough for it to be considered real science. And I talk about that in my book too, because we've really discredited a lot of our wisdom carried on from ancient times because it seems too simplified, and we're looking for something more complicated because we consider ourselves more advanced. And so we're looking for the more complex explanation, and all that is mind noise. In my interesting point of view. It's just the mind likes to complicate things. So if you look back, time passes quickly when you're having fun at that adage. The truth that's in that gives us information about actually how time is in fact a mental construct. Yeah, time passes quickly because you're not looking at the time. You're in the flow, so it's moving quickly, so you're more in the flow of energetics, or you're more in the flow of consciousness. When time passes slowly, you're not having fun. When you're not having fun, you're in resistance to life, right? So you're going to be more in the mental construct, and so time is going to pass more slowly. So when we're starting a new venture, and when we're going for even more self-mastery, if we're coming from the mind, we're going to require it to go slower. We're going to ask our changing. We're going to ask the manifesting of what it is we're working towards to come in slower. We're going to need the change to happen slower. And we're going to probably ask that it be more understandable on a linear, concrete, sequential way, or in a linear, concrete, sequential way, because we're going to be approaching the energetic expansion still from our mind. So that's something to really be aware of, that the more, so in the quantum world, for example, they were observing behaviors, and I talk about this in my book too, just a bit, then just to explain that the nature of the times we're living in right now, it's been understood by quantum physics that there's quarks, there's all these kinds of behaviors in quantum physics that the quanta actually leaps. The quanta reaches a threshold and then has an exponential leap forward. It's no longer the Newtonian physics where if I push this button once, it reacts with the ball bouncing off the lever once. If I push down this lever once, then the ball gets spit back to me once. It's not I hit this one cue ball with this pool stick and it hits this other cue ball, this other ball, and sends it into the pocket once. It's totally nonlinear like that and non-concrete sequential in the world of quanta, where it being a quanta will reach a certain threshold and it will just explode and make a massive jump forward. That's more the nature of the energy of the times we're living in right now. And when you live in the energetics, when you live in the world of consciousness, you're able to move quicker because you're more aligned with energy and less aligned with mind. So I had another experience with another woman this week, going on to a different topic now, of just leaping and trusting the universe. And she had this belief about money being difficult, insignificant. And she'd have this new venture come into her world where it involved money and bringing in other people to the adventure that she was starting. And these other people, in order to get in and become a part of the venture, obviously had to invest. And so what she had some stickiness towards the money being an issue for some of the people who she knew creatively wanted to be creating in this way, what she was creating, but may not have had the money. And so she realized, you know what? This isn't even about the money. Forget it. Forget it. This is about the dream and the dream manifesting. So she decided to just stop what she was doing, to stop asking the people she was asking, and to just go in a whole new direction of asking totally different people that she was less familiar with, perhaps, or were not having money issues, so she could have her dream come true. And that may sound overly simplified, but what she went through in herself was a breakthrough where she was coming at it from, this is an investment, this is an adventure to create more money, and this is about money too, this is about a dream manifesting. So when she stopped making it about the money, she took a leap off the cliff, because the money is the world that she's familiar with. The money, and even coming at it from a lack perspective, that there isn't enough to go around, that other people are suffering too, and we could create more by us joining together. All of this was from a money-focused perspective, and covering up or veiling the actual dream of, if we pull this money together, oh my God, this dream that we create is going to help so many people. So she was coming at it from old stuff where she had blocks and past experiences that had things happen that she had a belief that, okay, this is what it's like with money. This is what I'm like with money. So it wasn't about expansion. It was about staying in old mind and mental constructs. So when she finally had like this push from inside out, like from her heart area, it was just like she wanted to just leap out of the same old thinking and out of the same old way of operating. She said, screw it. And she feels like she took like a step off a cliff and then knew she was going to be caught with a parachute. And she was. And she just said to me yesterday, Allison, I have had for the last 2 days a bliss like I have never known before. Like, it's not that the events themselves have gone away. It's not like events, I need a different word. It's not like the challenges in life have gone away, but my perspective has changed. Like, these things can be happening all around me and nothing is wrong. There's like this level of bliss in my life. Everything is okay. The mind can have a naggingness to it. And you guys know what I'm talking about. When we don't take care of something, and what I mean by that is not an item on the to-do list like laundry. Hey, I'm talking about when there is something that we know we could be reaching out for, and our soul or our spirit or our higher self is trying to talk to us about taking that opportunity. And we, with our mind, go back into not taking it and just staying the same. That thing has the tendency, especially in today's time, to gnaw at us or nag at the back of our mind and give us a kind of off feeling. And that off feeling can permeate our lives, and it can set other stuff off to not come to fruition. So that can show up as a form of self-sabotage in a way, because we're so used to choosing contracting, not expanding, staying small, staying with habit. There's all these different lingos to refer to it depending on what system you work with, whether it's access or meditation or whatever. But the bottom line is when we go, we know when we're meant to expand. We know when we're meant to go into a new level towards self-mastery and have even more self-mastery. And when we ignore it, it actually, in today's energy more now than ever before, creates more noise, more pain, more suffering, less peace of mind than if we were to just listen to it. The guidance to expand more. It is actually, especially if you've already been doing some of this expansion work and working with consciousness and already have taken steps to change your life, you can't go back. If you try to go back, it's almost like there's you can go back, go for it. But what I'm saying is, and I don't mean go for it like a challenge, I'm not telling you what to do is all I mean to say. You can go for it. If you do, though, what I'm seeing in the energy of today is that there's more of a tendency to have more suffering and pain. And it was like this even 15 years ago, but the energies are just so supportive for expansion right now and for us to change that if we take a step forward and then we contract back, it's going to be almost more painful because of the taste of freedom that's so much stronger because of all the support coming when we step out towards that new level of self-mastery and expansion. There's another aspect, one more thing before closing, that feels like it's out there this week. And that is the idea of being instead of doing. And that I've heard a lot of people from very many different areas in my life, clients and friends and other healers and leaders across the planet, talking about more of a sense of just wanting to be, like not wanting to do. And I got this awareness in my last session today that maybe that's the time we're moving in. And as you read my book, you can see I'm talking about there being a total paradigm shift. And one of the things that's talked about from Erwin Laszlo with this whole meta paradigm shift is cooperation, community, and communication are replacing competition and not enough in hierarchy. So if we move out of that old paradigm, which we are in fact doing, that means that if we're not fighting for survival, if we're not struggling to be the top dog in competition, if we're not needing to hurt somebody in order to get ahead in competition, in some people's ways of construing competition, if we're not coming from a place of there's not enough and it's a race and I need to get my share, then isn't all of that, if we're coming more from communication and cooperation to build community. These are feminine, more femininely connotated energies or behaviors or archetypes, but we have just entered into the era of feminine consciousness. So it would make sense, yeah? And it's not to say that masculine is bad, feminine is good. It's just, it is what it is. And so if we're cooperating and communicating to build community and to have an outcome that is a cooperatively gained outcome, then the race isn't there. The fighting, the struggle, the pushing another down so we can get up isn't there. And the lack isn't there. We're leaving that, I mean, everything that I know and everything that I see, we are leaving an era where it's based on there isn't enough, and we're moving into one that acknowledges the divine flow, the divine backdrop to all of life, the eternal, what trumps the physical, what trumps humans' minds is the divine, in learning how to honor the bigger backdrop of life that all consciousness is. Whether it's you call it the divine or you just call it the field or you call it consciousness, it's okay, whatever. But in honoring that there is abundance, that lack is actually a human-made construct to serve humankind in certain eras, but that abundance is a divinely made construct when looking at nature and pulling out of human nature, right? So in this new era is also the idea, of just being, because the abundance is understood to be there and it is there, and we activate ourselves to reach for that abundance in a way that allows us to cooperate and communicate in community and build community. It's a brilliant times we're living in right now. I wholeheartedly support your efforts in this weekend, making five choices in the face of your mind's habitual tendencies, and then observe what comes up in response. How much support, how many synchronicities, how many new people you meet, how many people you hear from you haven't heard from in so long, how much more expanded and light and joyous you feel. Just play with it. This is another awareness I had this week. It's like we're living in a Candyland game board, the Candyland game. If you don't know it, the few of you who don't, you could Google it. And we're making choices as if in Candyland, which way to go. Here's choice A. Okay, so I've chosen this before. How about I choose B just to see, just for fun, just for kicks? And play with it instead of it all being so heavy and significant. Just make a different choice. You don't usually answer the phone. You let it go to voicemail. Pick up the phone. Just start unraveling where you're in habit, because that's mind. So you open up to expansion in small areas that can then lead up to opening up to more expansion in big areas. And if you want some support, you can reach out to me down on the bottom right. If you want, the Tuesday night weekly theta calls are brilliant. And I totally love having people on there and hearing from them after all of the breakthroughs and the changes and the lightning. Every Tuesday night, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern time, and you get a recording. You can join me there. It's a pretty quick turnaround time for the effects that people are getting, and it would be my honor to help you gain mastery over yourself, to have one more activated, one more enlightened, lighter person on our planet, because that's what we're doing. Many thanks for listening. Have the best weekend ever and create the best life ever. What else is possible indeed? Ciao!
Thank you again for tuning in to Create Your Best Life Ever featuring Allison J.K. Please join us again next Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. Now, enjoy your weekend and start making positive changes today.